Good to see you.
Hey, good morning, everybody. My name is also Matt. We only allow Matts on stage. I don't know if you knew. My name is Matt Vaught. I'm one of the pastors here, and it's my privilege to bring the Word of God to you this morning. We're in 1 Thessalonians. This is week 3. We're in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 13, 14, 15, and 16. So we're doing a deep dive into just four verses. This is my favorite way to preach. I'm so excited. So we're going to jump in. On Tuesday night, my wife and I had Chinese food. I love Chinese food. I get the same thing every time. I know some, that's weird to some of you, but I order Kung Pao chicken extra spicy every time. Kung Pao chicken extra spice. I don't jump around. I don't dive into the menu. Kung Pao chicken extra spice. And I've done this for a decade at the same restaurant, okay? Kung Pao chicken extra spice. Over and over again. And I don't know what happened on Tuesday. I don't know if they got a different chef or the chef they have was feeling extra spunky. But I'm telling you, I had Chinese on Tuesday. Chinese had me all day Wednesday and Thursday. I mean, it was horrible. The inside of my mouth was burning. My eyes were like tearing up. I could not finish it. It was so hot. But we all know what is the best part about Chinese food. The fortune cookies. Right. Everybody loves a fortune cookie. Here's a couple of my favorites. To truly find yourself, you should play hide and seek alone. That's great. Yeah. If you eat something and nobody sees you eat it, it has no calories. That's from Brian. You are not illiterate. That one makes me laugh. And someone in your life needs a letter from you. Soon you'll receive a letter from someone you love. We all love a fortune cookie. Have you ever opened a fortune cookie and been like, let's do another one? And you just go back for the second one trying to find the good fortune? Sometimes in our lives, we can treat Scripture like a fortune cookie. We fall into this trap of beginning to read Scripture like it's this little handout for the day after our meal. And if we don't like that one, we're like, yeah, maybe I'll find a new one. But what if Scripture, the Word of God, actually had the ability to powerfully transform our lives? That's what we get to talk about today. So turn with me to verse 13 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. It says this. And we also, this is Paul talking, and we also thank God continually because when you receive the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as human word, but as it actually is, the word of God, which is indeed at work in you who believe. For you, brothers and sisters, became imitators of God's church in Judea, which are in Christ Jesus. You suffered from your own people the same things those churches suffered from the Jews, who killed the Lord Jesus and the prophets and also drove us out. They displease God and are hostile to everyone, verse 16, everyone in their effort to keep us from speaking to the Gentiles so that they may believe, so that they may be saved. In this way, they always heap up their sins to the limit. The wrath of God has come upon them at last. Whoa, welcome to church. So these are people who are actively working to suppress the gospel. They are at work actively trying to keep people from hearing and responding to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Here's the context for this. This is back in Acts chapter 17. In Acts chapter 17, we read about Paul coming to Thessalonica. And he shows up. This is what it says in Acts chapter 17. When Paul and his companions had passed through Amphipolis, yes, I practiced that, and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica where there was a Jewish synagogue. Now, it was his custom, as was his custom, Paul went into the synagogue. And on three Sabbath days, he reasoned with them from the Scriptures. So for 3 weeks, Paul is in Thessalonica. And it says that he reasoned with them from Scripture. He's like, okay, this is the Word of God, and this is how it points to Jesus. And he explains to them the gospel and how Jesus is the Messiah. And it says that as he's doing this, the Holy Spirit moves and people begin to give their lives to Jesus. And their lives are transformed. And a church is born in Thessalonica. Well, some of the Jews did not like this. And it says this, let's skip to verse 5. But other Jews were jealous, so they rounded up some bad characters from the marketplace, formed a mob, and started rioting in the city. And they rushed to Jason's house in search of Paul and Silas in order to bring them out to the crowd. But when they didn't find them, they dragged Jason and some other believers before the city officials. And they bring them to the city officials and they're like, listen, these guys are insurrectionists. They are claiming there's another king. His name is Jesus. They are not following Caesar. They're doing all this bad stuff. And they end up arresting some of the believers. They had to post bond. Paul and Silas, they had to escape to a town called Berea close by. But when these people, this mob, hears that Paul's in Berea, they actually like bus in riders. Like that's not a new thing, right? They bus in riders to Berea, who then starts riots there. And then Paul has to escape by night from Berea and flees to Athens. These people did not like Jesus, okay? This is the context for what's going on in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Imagine, all right, so we're a church plant. We're coming up on our 10-year anniversary. I cannot imagine planting a church in Thessalonica, incredibly strategic place. I mean, it's set on the crossroads between the East and the West. From Europe to Asia, that road ran right through Thessalonica. I mean, complete, huge, great city to spread the gospel. I can't imagine going, okay, you want me to plant a church in Thessalonica? Great. Let's see, what day is it? 18th. I'll give you 3 weeks. And that's what happened. Imagine that. Paul shows up for 3 weeks. And he leaves. He gets thrown out of town. Not what he thought he should be doing. And remarkably, incredibly, the word of God takes root. And these people, and these believers, and they begin to spring forth, this church and this body of Christ grows. And it's like, that is how Paul, when Paul says, man, I thank God continually. He's going, this is miraculous. When he hears word of what has taken root and it is thriving and growing and changing that city in Thessalonica, he's blown away, right? I mean, how could you not be blown away by what the Lord is doing? So that is the context by which Paul is writing, and we also thank God continually, because when you receive the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as human word, but as it actually is, the word of God, which is indeed at work in you who believe. The word of God, that's verse 13. The word of God, which you heard from us. So let's go back. So what word did they actually hear from Paul? Let's go back to Acts chapter 17, because he explains to us exactly the message that he preached to them. So that's Acts 17, verses 2. We'll start at 2 and 3. He reasoned with them from scriptures, and then verse 3 it says, explaining. So this is what Paul explained. This is the word of God that 1 Thessalonians is talking about. He explaining and proving that the Messiah had to suffer and rise from the dead. This Jesus I am proclaiming to you is the Messiah, he said. So what word, so back to 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 13, we thank God continually because you received the word of God which you heard from us. So what's the word of God that in which they heard from him? What was the message that he shared? It says that he, number one, reasoned with them from scripture. Two, it says explaining and proving. Proving what? Explaining and proving what? Namely, that the Christ, or your version might say the Messiah, had to suffer and be raised from the dead. And more precisely, he then says, and that Messiah, that Christ, is in fact Jesus. That is the message shared through Scripture to those people in Thessalonica. So Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 2, that we also thank God continually because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, the word of God is the gospel. And then what happens next? Paul gives thanks because of three things the Thessalonians did with that word. He says, I continually thank God because, and here are the three things that Paul is giving thanks for. Three things that became the catalyst that changed their entire lives and community forever. Number one, they heard the word. They heard it. Because you received the word that you heard from us. Romans 10 tells us this. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without somebody preaching to them? Verse 17, drop down. Consequently, faith comes from hearing. Hearing the word of God, the message, and the message of hearing is heard through the word of Christ. So number one, the first thing they did is they heard it with their ears. Number two, it says, go back. And we also give thanks continually because when you received the word, so secondly, the first thing they did was they heard it. Secondly, they received it. This word receive in the Greek is actually a compound word. The first part is para. The second part is lambano. Para means from close alongside. The second half of that word, lambano, means to take by showing strong personal initiative. So it literally means to receive near, to associate this thing with oneself. It means to examine your personal journey honestly in the light that this word is actually true. You see, we can hear the word, and then we have this option, right? We can either receive it or reject it. Is this true or not? If it is true, to receive it means to receive it as in the light that the true, living, enduring word of God might have something to say with my own life, with my own story. How might this truth then, if this is true, how might this truth then illuminate and impact our own lives, right? Hebrews 4 says this about Scripture. For the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joint and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. So number one, they heard the word with their ears. And number two, then they received the word as truth in their heart. They didn't stop there, though. Let's go back. Verse 13. When you receive the word of God, which you heard from us, you then what? You accepted it. Not as human word, but it actually is the word of God. The word accepted here means, I love this when I looked it up. It means a warmly receptive welcoming. So they heard it with their ears. They received it as truth. And since it's not a human idea, but it's actually the word of God, then it would make sense for it to be welcomed into our daily lives then, right? Applied into how we live. And it began to reshape and informed how this church in Thessalonica lived out their lives in obedience and surrender. So they heard it with their ears. They received it as truth. And then it began to be applied into their lives. James 1 says it this way, don't merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says, right? So, Paul writes, you receive the word of God which you heard from us, and you accepted it not as human word, but it actually is the word of God. And then I want you to listen to this next part, which is indeed at work in you who believe. Church, the Word of God is at work in you through the power of the Holy Spirit. And how do we know this to be true? How does Paul then explain, like, hey, and I know this for a fact. Here's why. He says, for, verse 14, for you, brothers and sisters, became imitators of God's church in Judea, which are in Christ Jesus. So they heard it, received it, accepted it, and then they begin to emulate it, right? They became imitators of this church who is in Christ Jesus, the church back in Judea. And how did they become imitators? He then explains to us how they were imitating the church in Judea. It says, because you suffered for your own people the same things those churches suffered from the Jews. They became imitators in their suffering. Remember back in Acts chapter 17, when Paul was describing the message that he wrote, he said that Christ had to what? Suffer and be raised from the dead. That word suffer is pasco. It's where we get our word passion. It's why the movie was called The Passion of the Christ. Because of the gospel, the finished work of Christ's death, burial, and resurrection, there is power and purpose even in our suffering. All through the New Testament, Scripture reaffirms this truth. And I know it is so like un-American to talk about imitating suffering. Are you kidding me? Let's imitate thankfulness, right? That too. But all through the New Testament, Scripture affirms this truth that we are united with Christ in our suffering, that we are comforted through our suffering, that we are called to suffer with him. We follow in his example. 1 Peter 2:21, for you have been called for this purpose since Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example so that you will follow in his steps. There is purpose in pain because of the hope of the gospel. And Paul takes it even further here in Thessalonians, where he says, you're actually even united with the broader church, the body of Christ in our suffering, because of the hope of the gospel. Is the Word of God at work in you? In other words, how might we be hearing with our ears, receiving in our hearts, and accepting in our lives the Word of God in a manner so that the Holy Spirit can use it to powerfully transform us? Here's three ways I might suggest for us. And Romans 12 does a great job of illustrating this idea of this transformational power of Scripture through the Holy Spirit. So three ways. Don't worry, they all start with the same letter. I'm not going to let you down. I want you to think perspective. Secondly, posture. Thirdly, progress. Perspective, posture, progress. Romans 12, 1 and 2 says this. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices. Do we have this verse? That's okay. Just listen to it. It'll be great. To offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God, this is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Have you ever been like, man, what is God's will for my life? You know, Scripture talks about it. So the first P, perspective. He says, therefore, in Romans 12, 1 and 2, therefore, in view of God's mercy. Okay, here's a hint. Whenever you hear the word mercy in Scripture, it always has to do with the gospel. Mercy is only made possible because of justice. Okay? We don't want an unjust God. The gospel, Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection in our place, on our behalf, for our sins, taking our place on the cross, that is mercy. That is what allows us to receive mercy. Right? So he says, therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy. That speaks to perspective. That means when we hear the word, I want us to hear it through the perspective of the gospel and full view of God's mercy. We read Scripture, we hear Scripture in the light of the gospel. That is the only way. All of the Old Testament, this part, all points back, points forward to Jesus. This part is going to point back to Jesus, right? It's all of, this book is not about you and me. It's about him, his story. If you ever hear a sermon and they don't talk about Jesus or the name of Christ is not lifted up, probably don't need to listen to it. It's all about him. So that's the perspective. First one, perspective. We hear and we read Scripture through the lens of the gospel, number one. In view of God's mercy, he says, in view of God's mercy, then offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. The second P is posture. When we receive, so we hear the word through perspective of the gospel, we receive the word then with the posture of worship. We're offering our bodies as living sacrifices. This is the real deal. When we read God's word, we read it with a heart of obedience and surrender and submission. As we approach the word with humility, man, the Holy Spirit can begin to work in our lives. So perspective, posture, and then he says, do not be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing, that's like ongoing tense, renewing of your mind. The third three is progress. So we accept the word then, and the progression of transformation. Here's what I mean by that. We are in a process that is ongoing. That is a continual process of sanctification, of being, that word means to be made into the image of Jesus by the power of the Holy Spirit at work in our lives. He says, be transformed by the renewing of our minds. As we read God's word, we read it knowing that there is an ongoing nature to transformation and growth in Christ. This is not like a download of information. Remember like the Matrix, when it's like they could just download how to be a jiu-jitsu artist or whatever, you know, like, that'd be awesome, but that's not how this works. Sometimes it happens where God just does an amazing work in our lives, but there's still this process. It is the long walk in the same direction that changes us. Transformation is an ongoing journey, not only this one-time event that occurs at salvation. So we read God's word as part of this, part of the Spirit's process of renewal and transformation. The Holy Spirit is shaping us into the image of Christ in this process called sanctification. And I think that's the part that sometimes gets on my nerves because it seems like it's taken forever, right? Like, have you ever, it's like diet and exercise. Like, I hate exercising. It is the worst. Because I don't see immediate results, right? Like, how run for 3 months? No difference. Right? Like, I want to, like, bench press and then be like, oh. You know, like, it just doesn't work. But, man, for 3 years, I might look back at myself and go, oh, I can see some difference. It's the process. It is a long process, not a fortune cookie. Okay, when the word is at work in us, here's what happens. Our minds are renewed. Our lives are reshaped. Our hearts begin to then discern and delight in God's will. See, the Word of God does not just inform us, it transforms us. And then what does he say happens next? He says, then you're going to be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, perfect, and pleasing will. Guys, this is a big reason why, in other words, that means, let me back up. In other words, then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, perfect, and pleasing will. That means, in other words, you grow up. Like, you become a mature Christian. You become spiritually mature. As you begin to understand Scripture and apply it to your lives, we're able to then test and approve. We're able to go like, you hear somebody, you know, preaching up here or on street corner or wherever, and you're like, or on YouTube, and you're like, that doesn't sound right. Well, that's because you know Scripture. You've got a foundation of it in your heart. You begin to understand, like, I know, well, that's not God's will, because that's opposed to Scripture. Right? So often, because we don't view Scripture as truth and we're not willing to apply it to our lives, we stay kind of in that infant follower stage our whole lives. And we're only dependent on other people to feed us pre-fed food, right? I don't want to pre-chew your food for you the rest of your life. Because the Word of God is powerfully, actively at work in you. Will you allow Him to do that? When we read Scripture, it's like, man, if I don't agree with it, it is not the Scripture that needs to change, right? It's me. There's something, right? If everything I read, like, if I only agreed with all of the things that I read, or if I only read the things that I only agreed with, like, I'm just making God into my own image. Like, it's the opposite, right? No, like, fully expect to not agree with to like reason and be like, I don't know Zephaniah. I just don't get it, right? Of course, we're not God. This is a process of transformation. Am I cutting out? So, with the perspective of the gospel and the posture of worship, through the progression of transformation, the Word is at work in you who believes. Do you believe? That would be the next question. Do you believe? Brian, can we do one song? Can we do a response song? Thank you. Come on up, man. Do you believe? Have you placed your faith in Jesus? Man, if you've not, today is a great day to do it. We've got the Amen Corner back there. You can find me after the service. We've got people, man, we love praying with people to receive Jesus. Question is, are you hearing the Word? Number two, are you receiving the Word? Number three, are you accepting the Word? With the perspective of the gospel and the posture of worship through the progression of transformation, may the living Word of God do its work in us today. Would you pray with me? Father, thank you so much that your Word is living and active. That you don't leave it up to us to try to make our own way. So, Father, would you speak? Lord, I pray that as we open Scripture together in our own times throughout this week, that your Holy Spirit would just be powerfully speaking to us, that your words would jump off the page. Lord, give us wisdom and insight that's beyond us. Lord, show us what you have for us. Thank you so much that you love us enough not to leave us where we are, though, but to grow us and shape us. I pray that in a year from now, we would all look a whole lot more like Jesus than we do today. And that wouldn't stop. So we worship you this morning. Jesus' name we pray, amen. Let's stand if you're able and sing together.
I could just sit and wait for all your goodness, hope to feel your presence. I could just stay right where I am and hope to feel you, hope to feel something again. Safe here in your arms and never leave home. Never let these walls down, but you have called me higher. You have called me deeper, and I'll go where you will lead me, Lord. You have called me higher. You have called me deeper, and I'll go where you will lead me, Lord. You'll lead.
Lord, we thank you for today. We pray that you'd lead us. God, lead us into your word. God, that we'd have a perspective of the gospel, Lord, that we would let your word be active in our lives. Lord, that it would change us from the inside out. Lord, thank you that you trust us with the gospel. Lord, seek it deep in us and give us boldness to go and share, to be salt and light. Lead us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks, everybody. Have a great week. We'll see you next time.